Let me change it up a little bit this morning.
Okay.
We've you know, over the last few months, we've studied a lot of very heavy, I guess is the word, or they're simple, but they seem heavy to our minds. Things. Is there anything that any of you don't understand, or any questions about, or anything about living by the faith of instead of faith in? Let your mind, your thoughts are the fiery darts of the evil one.
Pigs flying.
Huh?
The pigs flying.
Pigs flying, yeah. Yeah.
That'd be good.
And they'll cover.
What's really stuck with me of these last weeks is that is the thing about in John about the light and the darkness, and darkness comprehended, all that whole thing is me, whatever I am is darkness. And
the whole
darkness can't comprehend the light. Darkness has to be dissipated by the light.
And you don't get rid of darkness by analyzing it or psychobabbling it, or
that increases the darkness.
Yeah.
And again, remember, darkness there just means twilight.
We can't quite make things out.
Well, twilight is where you can compare. Tell you what, let's do. Let's go to Ephesians 6. We're gonna take a little side journey. Yeah, he came to visit me earlier while I was sitting out there.
Right in that?
No. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Any time that Paul uses the word finally, you should pay attention to it. It's like any time something is repeated a whole bunch of times in a small number of verses, or there's a bunch of them. I don't remember them all now. But anyway, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the only place the high places exist are in our minds. They're not excuses to go to war against some country or excuses for political action, because other scriptures talk about you pray, you don't overthrow governments, you pray for them. Now, this is very controversial, but you got to see it. The only high places, and you, for those of you who have been here a long time, you know the months and months that we spent on high place activity. The only place the high place activity occurs is in your mind. In my opinion, it's the seven mountains of your mind, the seven high places. This is where the false religion exists. And that mind, or your evil one, its purpose is to cause you to always draw you away from the mercy seat. And a damn fine job he does.
Right. Got a lot of practice.
Well, he's hardwired to do that.
Yeah. But and if you don't see that you are darkness and you're trying to make it better, then you're off to the races.
Right, and you go on, and the evidence of it is that you conduct the false religion within the temple of God. You are the temple of the living God. And you conduct the false religion. And how do you know it's a false religion? Because it always has something that doesn't testify that it's finished. And so, I mean, that's the basis of every rebellion, every act of rebellion. If it's finished, if it's perfect, if you've been perfected by one offering, if it says you own all things, if it says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not need. So every activity that goes on in your mind is against that. Can you really understand that? Can you see that? Don't just sit there and come up with thoughts and don't tell me about it. I want you to have the courage to say if you don't agree with it. Don't dismiss it without some kind of an interchange. That's why, again, in ancient times, the synagogue or the early church, it was a place of, there was no one silent. It was a place of confronting, of exhorting.
Like a battleground.
Well, it was a threshing floor. It was the threshing floor, and that's what the whole idea of where the people are. It is the threshing floor. That's our only purpose, the threshing floor. All right. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that's a description of your mind. It's not a description of something else. It's not a description of Bush or Kerry or whoever. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, what are you standing on? What's the stand? There's no stand about anything else other than it's finished. If you really consider it, if you look at your life, think of the number of times that you've been in massive depression because you thought there was something wrong. It was something that you know, what happens? I promise you, spent any time in this, I promise you, you can trace that going back into the pit of depression. You can trace it to the place where you had a good idea, where you thought something was good.
I'm just thinking of it in terms of the way you're supposed to feel. Like yesterday, I got some calls from my mortgage company because we haven't paid a mortgage yet this month because I hadn't received some checks. And I had these conversations, and I realized I'm supposed to feel bad when that happens. And so if I follow my program, I'll feel bad because that's appropriate, and that's punishment because I'm late. And that's just a... speaks to any number of arenas. You do it because you think you're supposed to, and you shouldn't be in joy if you're not flush or if your relationships aren't in order or whatever. You deny the joy because of guilt.
The one thing that has hit me over the many, many years is If the God of the universe says I've been perfected by one offering, if it says I need nothing, if he says that, then in order for me to believe there is a problem, the predicate of that I have a problem or I have an issue is that the sacrifice of the Son of God wasn't enough for me because I'm so special. And so, no matter what it is, and so if you have any issue that you're dealing with, first of all, stop dealing with it. It's to be given away instantly. Knowing that it's God that has wrought all your works in you. He's wrought all the situations for one reason, to see if there's anything in the universe that will take you away from the mercy seat. Now, if you don't know it, you're on the mercy seat, then you're way back there, you know, you're someplace other than, you know, believing by the faith of Christ. And you're still trying to believe in Him, and you still believe the lie of separation, that there is something that you have to do to gain approval or to have redemption. And so this is, it has to cover the smallest arena of your life. The little things are what start the downward path away from joy, away from the mercy seat. And so it's critical that you hear this. Now, the next verse. First of all, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Well, which day is that? The evil day is any day that is still called today. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Well, it's only called today because of our rebellion. Every single writer of the New Testament believed that they were in the last day. That's the predicate of their writing. Now we have people who think they're so much smarter and have so much more spiritual knowledge than the writers of the New Testament, that they even say, these like Rick Joyner and those, that whole group of what they call the Kansas City Prophets, they have said over and over many times that when they get to heaven, that Paul and Peter and James and John and all of these writers of the Testament, of the New Testament, or the completed Testament, are going to come to them and sit at their feet to gain wisdom from them. That is pure blasphemy. So what situation,
let's talk about something a second, about dealing with. You always bristle at that phrase, dealing with. But there's something, dealing with is what happens in you until you see.
And that's every act of dealing with is rebellion.
But you can't just be a religious idiot and say,
No, you're not. You can't do that. It's impossible. Because as long as you're dealing with it, that is simply the proof of your rebellion against it's finished.
But to me, the dealing with is what happens in the way to see it, so that you can abandon and turn from. You can't turn from it at the beginning because there's nothing happening. Nothing's taking place out.
This is the same discussion we've had for 35 years.
No, apparently it's not settled.
We're still dealing with it.
Still dealing with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's there, you know, you can't just speak it away because it doesn't go away. It's like, if something
Listen, what you're dealing with is you're using that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. And the fact that it's happening to you is because there is an arena in your life that still contains idolatry. It's always instant repentance. Even the tendency to deal with it, Father, forgive me, I've resurrected the I motive.
But whether it's a half a second or an hour, I mean, dealing with is the act of recognition or seeing that it's finished, repentance takes place.
Let me ask you this. Did you understand the book of Ecclesiastes?
Sure. I'm sure.
Vanity of vanity, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, all is empty, all is futile. So how can you deal with anything?
Well, the wicked one comes and plants a seed that tries to come against all is vanity. Well, until that's recognized as happening,
your garment is spotted by the flesh.
It is. Then, once it's seen, you can repent of it. But there's a seeing here that I see that you don't.
I understand what you're saying. What you're doing is you're justifying rebellion.
I don't think I'm justifying rebellion.
I promise you, you're justifying. I promise you, you're justifying rebellion.
May I? I have the same problem that he has. And if I understand where you're coming from, if I say I'm trying to see it, I'm using that which is cursed to get somewhere. But the thing is that every single day something comes along that teases me that's important. You know, that's what Gary is calling dealing. You know, how am I ever going to, I guess the mind is never ever going to really accept that it's not important. Because unless, you know.
Sure.
Again, when you say you understand the book of Ecclesiastes, and then you still give breath to your own emotions or your own thoughts, by definition, you haven't seen.
But that's what I'm trying to get at. I think that's what Gary says dealing is. He hasn't reached that place where he really he believes that it's not important, but it doesn't feel that
that's
way yet.
Therefore, that's rebellion.
Okay. Well, I tried here.
But I mean, who wrote Ecclesiastes? Solomon. How did he get to the comprehension that all is vanity?
Because he did everything that was set before him.
And he let it happen. He dealt with it. He experienced it.
And he did it so that you don't have to. Unless you can tell me something. We spent 35 years together, Gary, right?
Right.
Tell me something. Tell me one issue. Well, let me ask you this. In 35 years... Of you and I together, have you ever seen me give breath to anything in time and space?
Well, sure.
When?
I mean, you've fretted about things and
only
your health.
Only your unbelief.
Until you saw that you were, it was evil for you to not want your pain, you were
and I confess that as sin.
Finally. But until you did, what was happening?
The garment was spotted by the flesh. I was in a state of rebellion.
Okay, that's not a problem for me. It's rebellion. But until it's seen, the rebellion can't be repented of. That's my point.
If you can confess with me, as you did earlier, that you see the book of Ecclesiastes as vanity of vanity, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, and all the other things in it, and you can say that there is anything in time and space that's worth giving breath to, then you haven't seen.
Well, to me, it's like I can say that on the mountaintop where everything is clear, but then when you get down into the mix, everything is pulling you away, trying to deny the truth.
What's everything? The only thing that's pulling you away is your mind.
Your mind, whatever it is, it's pulling you away.
And so therefore you think you owe your mind something.
I'm sure that my core program tells me that. And until I comprehend it, or until I'm exhorted, that's the state. And then repentance.
I understand, Gary, but
joy.
I don't want you to name it as dealing with it. I want you to name it as rebellion.
Was are we talking about words? Is it semantics here, or you know?
No, dealing with it gives credence to the flesh. Rebellion gives no credence to the flesh.
Dealing with it implies that you can do something about it. You, Gary Bucker, can do something, are doing something about it. You can do nothing about it except for repent, give it back to him, just like that. It's not once you see it.
Yeah, once you see it. Well, but in that framework, before you see it, what are you doing?
Not seeing.
You're rebelling against.
I'll tell you what I think you're doing. Well, first of all, I'll tell you what I know I'm doing. When I am caught by the fear of death,
the way that I deal with it is the way that I learned to deal with it when I was that big, and that is act like I'm trying really hard, act like I'm working really hard to do the right thing. And if I do that, then even though God is pissed off, if he looks at me and says, oh, look how hard he's trying, then he won't kill me. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what I do. When I'm doing it, I think that the looking like I'm working hard and trying and all that has value.
Right.
I don't see it as evil and rebellion.
Right.
I think that you see the struggle as a good thing. And it's not a good thing, it's an evil thing.
I don't think I'm seeing it that way. I'm just confronting this issue. There's that excuse the word, time frame, where things are happening in you before the rebellion can be repented of.
It exists, and it will exist again, and it's okay because the end result is good.
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, that pretty much is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And what he's saying, and I'm saying, and they're saying is, no, that lapse, that activity, that's witchcraft, that's rebellion, that is evil.
It's all the things.
It's not a good thing.
It's all the things.
It's not a valiant fight.
All right, good or bad is not the issue. It is a thing. It
to
exists.
Be
No.
What's
no,
trying
no, no.
to happen here is say, oh, that doesn't exist.
No. All I want you to do is understand it. It's rebellion. It's pure evil. It isn't. There's no good in it.
All right, but it exists, right or wrong?
If it exists, then it's
rebellion. And it's rebellion. Let's call it rebellion. No problem.
And that's
but
what,
it exists. That,
and that's the state
you're
in.
And you're trying to tell me it doesn't exist.
No, I'm trying to tell you you're in that state right now because you're justifying time.
No, I'm not.
Well, promise
I'm
me.
I'm talking about what is.
What happens right now, if you're in this state, right now, time is over. The garment will be spotted by the flesh, and you'll be toast.
I don't believe that.
I know you don't. That's been the issue for 35 years.
Because I believe I'm talking about something that is as opposed to what isn't, and I brought it on, it's on the table to me.
All right. Let me just read a scripture, and you've all heard it before. Walk in wisdom. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, what does this seasoned with salt mean? No, let's go back to Rome or to Ephesians. This is not a minor matter, Gary. This is major. This is as big as it gets.
That's what we want.
Ephesians chapter 6. The next verse that we're studying. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 14. Standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, what you're doing right now is you are saying something that you believe is true.
What I believe exists.
It doesn't matter.
And are you saying it doesn't exist?
Listen. What the words? The reason that each sacrifice had to be seasoned with salt was so that there was always the component of eternity in each sacrifice. Here they're saying, is there the component of eternity in what you just said? No. Because eternity is no time. Truth, let your loins girt, therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Truth is the Hebrew word emeth, and it's a similar word in Greek. That means that which doesn't change with time. Now, everything you've said changes with time.
No.
It's all time dependent.
Well, it's seasoned with eternity. It's the struggle of man to see.
But you're giving eternity. Place to the devil.
I'm not giving place to anything. It exists, and I'm just recognizing it.
You're fighting for it. It's like so important to you that you have the right to struggle.
This period of time, this queasy period of time where, oh, I got to handle this somehow, your life's in turmoil, your mind's in turmoil, that period of time, whether it's one second or 1 hour or 3 days, that is not going to pass through eternity. That is not seasoned at all with the salt of eternity.
But does it exist or not?
Are
you trying to say
pornography exists?
Afterbirth exists.
Dog shit exists, right?
So?
What does that have to do with anything?
You don't roll in dog shit.
Because it has a value until the birth takes place.
And then what happens?
And then it's flushed.
And if it's time dependent, you're the afterbirth.
Fine. Until that time.
The time is now. The time was 2,000 years ago. The human race has been in a state of rebellion for 2,000 years, thinking that something, that time is left.
You just really kind of said it. Until the time.
Yeah.
What time?
Until you see
until
it.
What
until
what happens?
Until he is manifest.
But I promise you, Gary, you cannot see it as long as you're justifying time. It can't be seen. Because Jesus Christ is manifest in the flesh, but he's justified only in the spirit. You're trying to justify him in the flesh. This is the same discussion when you thought that God was acting differently at the time before the New Testament. It's the same exact thing. All of these things that happened to all of these people happened for your sake, so you could see.
And I don't have a problem with that. That's
except you justifying right. rebellion by your words.
Well, that's what you're saying. I don't see it.
Let's you look. Know, wait. You know the thing this thing we do. It's almost a cliche about what's wrong with the translation of the Bible. The Antichrist confesses that Jesus did come and will come, but only the Spirit of God confesses that Jesus Christ is come. Mm-hmm. You are saying, will come. And by definition, that means you are saying, is not now come. It is not finished. Jesus Christ is not manifest. It is not over. He's not here. He's not your life. He will be. As soon as I get this worked out, as soon as I struggle enough and the clouds part, then everything will be fine. Is that really what you're saying?
That's what you're hearing.
Well, here.
Well,
listen.
And I don't personally identify with it.
I know, but
well, that's the problem.
Well, maybe that is.
But listen, please. Can you confess that Jesus Christ is come in your flesh?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if he is come, and we know we've talked about it many times, what Jesus Christ means. It means everything is perfect, everything is finished, everything is complete. There's not an issue in the universe that I have to deal with. That's the only way you can confess he is come. But what you are, he's absolutely right. What you are saying is, you're saying when you see it, then you're saying he isn't fully come. It's a partial birth. He is come. It's the same thing that every religion that's dispensationalist is saying. And all the different arguments about when something is going to happen. It's the same thing that, you know, the Hindus are saying it being on the wheel of life and reincarnated over and over and over again until it's perfection. It's the same thing that the Hagis and all are saying about this time has got to come and continue. It's when he has come, and therefore we got to do all this stuff. It's he right now, this instant, he is fully come to his temple. It's nothing is left to accomplish. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing left to see. And this has been true for now for 2,000 plus years. We've been in the night of the last day. Remember Jesus said, just before his crucifixion, the night is coming when no man can work. By your idea, that what you've been talking about until it's apprehended is work.
Paul said the same thing.
What did he say?
I desire to be apprehended by that which I would apprehend. What's that?
Well, it didn't. That's not
when it's apprehended.
Well, let's look at what. Let's go. Go to. We're going to do one more little verse. Go to 2 Peter, chapter 3. Everything, please. Just for my, you got to hear this, everybody. Everything about the mystery of the fullness of the gospel is dependent on this discussion.
This is the mystery of the gospel.
This is
it.
Okay, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are in, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And many other scriptures talking about the garment being spotted by the flesh. It's that quick. Boom! And God is waiting for our rebellion to cease. And I want you to hear this. Just hear this carefully. You've got to personalize this. He's waiting for your rebellion to cease. And your rebellion, it's subtle, it's so, you know, it's words, but it's justifying time. There is no justification. That's why it begs, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And you're partially redeeming the time. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He's come in you. You've been perfected totally. You need nothing. You need to deal with nothing. And it's the same, it's a progress, the thing. From, you know, many years ago, God acted differently in the Old Testament than he does in the New Testament. Then it was, God is, you know, it's all right for here, but I've got to go out and do work. Now this is the final thing. Boom. If this can be the day and the declaration of your freedom. There are many witnesses that will tell you the same thing, and you know that. If you trust me at all spiritually, you have to see that there is no need for one more second. He is fully come in the flesh. It pleased the Father that in him all, it pleased God in the, in he is the fullness of God. And he is, and you are the temple of that living God, the fullness of it. There's nothing left. And when it says, let your speech be seasoned with salt, it's not just this speech. You gotta season this speech. Have you ever seen a slug when you put salt on it? It dissolves.
I don't like it.
Have you ever looked at your brain and looked how much that matter looks like a slug? That matter cannot stand salt. There's nothing in the gray matter of your brain or of any man's brain that can stand salt. Eternity. It's finished. Because this gray matter has to have time to continue to have influence over you. The instant it's seasoned with salt, time disappears because he is fully come. Bodily. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me totally now. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Now, when I did this to other people, they said, well, I'm overpowering you with my personality. Well, that's crap. This is the end. This is what the writers of the New Testament said. You know what the definition of lukewarm is? Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth, is what he said in Revelation. What is that?
Being in the middle.
Being in the middle. And what? You can't be in the middle anymore, Gary.
I think I'm in the middle.
Well, your conversation this morning justified the middle.
Well, what about the next verse here? Count the long suffering of our Lord as salvation.
That's right. He's been suffering by you. You are the one.
That's our salvation, because this is the frame that we're in.
All right.
And I don't disagree with the finished work or any of that. I mean, obviously, you should know that by now.
Yeah, but Gary, your thoughts, your speech says you disagree with it.
I'll tell you the truth. What I hear you saying is any thoughts or contemplation or meditation or seeing of God and His being and His person and His outworking, what you're saying to me is that's evil.
What?
That's what I hear you saying. That's self-seeking. That this perception of His outworkings, even in you, in the example I gave, it took you some long period of time before you had this great revelation that wanting to be free from pain was self-seeking and evil and had to be repented of.
Right.
Well,
that was evil.
And it was evil. But the moment you saw it, it was great liberation from the darkness.
But that can't justify your rebellion.
I'm not using that as justification.
That was my rebellion. You can't use someone else's rebellion.
You asked for an example, and I'm just recounting what I said and what I saw. The same things take place in me in my rebellion, but until that is illuminated, either by this conversation or something else, I'm walking in darkness.
Let me ask a question.
Subject to it.
There is a space where it says, you know, what do we do then? Shall we sin that grace may abound? I mean, I've got the same frustration you have, and I want it to be neutral, and that's what you're arguing, is that if it's neutral, then it'll have been a good thing when God finally reveals to me how stupid it was to consider whatever this thing is that I was considering. That didn't make it evil while it was happening all along. And I guess it's the one advantage that I have over you, is that I'm pissed because it's evil, but I'm not going to sit there and defend that I have to do it. It's still evil. I'm just pissed.
I don't consider it evil or good.
Well, the problem it is. It is evil. You can't sin for grace to be bound and say that the balance of the scales balance, everything's okay. And that's what I hear.
Right, so you can't purposefully sin. That's what that means.
Okay, well, I'll buy that. But I mean, the thing is, if Oli confronts you and says you're purposely sinning and you're defending it, then what are you doing? I mean, you either don't believe Oli when he said it was perfectly sinning, or you really do believe it's okay to sin that grace may abound. Decide.
Purposeful sinning is case.
Would you be pushing for this if you had 10 minutes to live, or a month to live, or 5 minutes to live?
I'm not pushing for anything. I don't care if it ends right this second. That's not a point.
But well, Gary, I know you pretty well. I think you know that I care about you.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I sit in Bible study with you here, but I do sit in Bible study with you there. And this conversation has made it really clear to me that while you are a really nice, caring, loving man, you preach Jesus Christ will come. You do not preach Jesus Christ.
Then I should not preach it.
I'm not saying whether you should or shouldn't. I'm just telling you,
if that's what I'm preaching and that's what's here,
no,
what I say, then I shouldn't be.
Gary, listen. None of us. I'm certainly not. The only merit that any of us have is that we've abided.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's all. So. We exhort one another daily, just like I'd like you to exhort me. But what I feel very nervous about is when you use my sin to justify time. That makes me very nervous for your sake.
Well, but you sit over there and make a lot of declarations about my spiritual condition being all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, that makes me a little nervous because I sit and preach and teach. So I figure, what the hell am I doing saying stuff when the pastor of my soul says I'm out of order? I should be locked in my closet.
None of us are right. What we do is with the interchange that happens between. And if anybody has seen that in you and that you're teaching, then they should have said something.
Right.
And so that you can't be right. I'm never right. Only he is right.
I feel like you were in this thing that you and I fight about.
Because it's the same thing that's been
right
going on. No. I could care less about being right. I want you to. All I'm asking you to see is you have to see that you've done it several times here. You've justified time in order to see something.
I tell you what, maybe what I'm doing, I don't feel it, I don't believe it, I don't see that I'm justifying time. And personally, I don't have to me, time is not evil. I mean, it's what God uses in his economy to bring forth, you know, the life. So
but the life has already been brought forth.
It has been brought forth, but not till you see it is it made manifest. It comes out of, we talk about darkness.
And you're trying to analyze darkness.
I'm not trying, I'm just talking about what it is.
If it, that is it gives it what it gives the hearers, it justifies. It doesn't say that he is come in the flesh. It says he will be coming. His coming isn't dependent on your seeing. There's nothing about him that's dependent on you seeing anything.
I agree with that.
But you're making it come. That's what your words have said. That's what I'm, you know, I'd do anything in the universe for you. You know that.
I know.
And I'm saying to you, Gary, that in the conversation, at least from your words, you are saying that there's more time necessary. And that doesn't confess the Lord Jesus. That isn't saying the same thing he says. And then you further justify that is you're not saying doctrine, you're just saying what is. Well, what I'm asking you to consider is that when you say that, you are in agreement with the dispensationalists who say in this context that the temple has to be rebuilt in order for Jesus to come, and the Antichrist has to come from the 10 nations of Europe and all that other stuff. It's the same thing. Your discussion this morning has been of a dispensationalist.
That's crushy too.
And so all I'm asking you is to consider the possibility that I might be right about this. And to see the freedom that could be yours by simply confessing that he is totally come in the flesh. He has totally filled you as the temple of the living God. You owe your mind and your emotions and your thoughts nothing. Of course, I bawl all the time when I see certain things. I feel like an idiot because I see him. I watched some program last night, Criminal Intent, and it just blew me away. Just one scene, and I cried for an hour and a half. But I can't justify that there needs to be any time.
Well, I wish I could speak these things that I see.
You are speaking of.
And not generate this conversation. For some reason...
Because the things that you're speaking are not correct. They are correct from the world standpoint. They are correct from the idea that Jesus Christ is going to come someday. They're correct from the standpoint, someday I'll see. But they're not correct from it's finished. They're not correct from you've been perfected by one offering forever. You still think there's something left for you to do. And I for years, every time I've heard you speak something for which time was necessary, I've jumped on you. And it makes you mad.
This doesn't make me mad. This is something that has to come to a fruition or whatever.
It is. It already is.
Well,
it has come.
Then there's nothing to do.
Right. Except.
You're killing yourself with these words.
I'm killing myself.
Until I see something, we're not done. I mean, isn't that the point here?
No.
As soon as I crack open and this light shines in, then, there it is. Now we see that it's finished because blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but it's the other way. It's until you crack open and the light shines out. The light's already there. It's you that's in the way. It's you that withholdeth. You know that thing in Thessalonians? Mm-hmm. And now we know who it is that withholdeth?
Yeah.
Because he will be destroyed by the brightness of his appearance.
His presence.
What you're saying makes total sense from where you sit, from inside the world. It makes no sense from the mercy seat. It is good. It is not the truth. Good is the enemy of the truth. It's less than the truth. It's saying something's going to happen. And it's rebellion. And that's all. It's almost impossible to get. You're just going to please pray that God will crack your freaking head open and let the light out. It's there. But you're stuck. And I appreciate how you're stuck. I really do.
Yeah.
But it's that far away. I mean, and that's the most frustrating. He said that to me 1,000 times, and I get pissed off every time.
It's that far away.
Well, it's that far away.
I know that you believe it's finished. I know that you believe he is come in the flesh, in your flesh. I know that, and this is where Paul is, examine yourself. Prove to your own self that you're totally in the faith. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you. Now, remember how all the discussions we've had about the religion that's going on in you as the temple of God is a false religion. And so the religion that, and it's the antithesis of the religion here, and I can give you 1,000 examples. The religion of him, his, the perfection of his holiness in the temple, it's all perfect, and it's all there right now in you. It has nothing to do with your mind apprehending it. The attempts of your mind to apprehend it is what God calls witchcraft, because rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And so all the tools that you're using are the tools we studied in Deuteronomy 18 about prudence and, you know, all that stuff. It's all, you're using those tools when it's like there's this one little thing here that needs to fall, and then you will see what already is completed. It has nothing to do with you or I apprehending it. He is full. It's already finished. It's already over. It's like the veil is rent, but it's just started in you. The veil, you haven't seen that it's rent. You still think it's being rent from the bottom up. And so every once in a while you peek under the veil and see the mercy seat. But it's rent from the top down, because he's shaken everything in you. He's allowed nothing you do to succeed. And it's, you keep trying to build the veil back up. The veil has to be seen as it's totally rent, and therefore the mercy seat is totally present. And his reality, the New Jerusalem, is already overriding you. It's already here. And it's only this thing that's keeping you from total freedom. There's nothing left for you to see. There's nothing left for you to do. There's nothing left for you to apprehend. And I think you'll see it fully.
And yeah, I know some things have started happening in the last 30 seconds, 60 seconds of what you just said.
About the veil?
The veil and the light and the finishedness and the rest and the, I mean, it all just, it's not a function of my ability to comprehend it. It's not a function of my mind getting clear and straight and making it comprehensible through my brain.
No, because all that will do is it'll try to utilize that for the I motive. He wants you to sing the new song, and the new song is without the I motive.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
And it's so simple.
fight.
All righty, any other? John? Take a big guy.
I thought you'd never take it.